Welcome to the 7th episode of the Break It Down podcast. It's like
take 17.
Yes, take 17 of the 7th episode.
Yeah.
It was thanks to someone's fault.
Okay, listen, I'm sorry, okay?
You shut up, Steven.
Should we give out the full story or just say, fuck it? Computers ate audio.
iPhone didn't want to record the audio. And
the iPhone was screwing us over.
Yep, because technology.
Apple. Yeah. Apple just hates our podcast.
And that's a little look behind the curtain for you guys.
Yes.
This is our work behind the magic.
This is like the 7-2 episode, because like -1 just was plain up awful.
Yeah, well, it wasn't awful.
Well, it was sort of awful. We understood the plot, but now that I think we got some time to settle in with it, I think we can think a lot more of it now.
Yeah.
Because last time was really rushed.
Yeah, it was really rushed, and we just were reading off the wiki pretty much.
and we didn't even have Nick. We just had Zombie Nick from Evo.
Yeah, I overdosed on Evo in that week, and
you
I died.
Zombie Nick.
But I'm resurrected!
He's like Jesus.
No, just like Kamina. Just pure willpower.
Exactly. I watched Gurren Lagann, and I was like...
Alright, now that we... Alright, now that we've gave a minor explanation... Let's just tell them what the game is of this cursed episode. It is Persona 1 Revelations.
Yeah, well, apparently Persona series is pretty fucked here in America, so it only makes sense that our Persona 1 episode would end up getting fucked too.
Yeah.
Persona 1 had 2-3 remakes. PSP one being the best one.
That's all. Like that was the one where they changed the black kids to Japanese.
Yeah, they. Oh my god. Anybody of Persona series will already know. But Persona 1, when I got ported over on the PlayStation version, they changed everything around. They made the main character more American. They made one kid black because you need token.
Stereotypes. No, wait. That's racial discrimination.
Yeah, but he's like the token black guy, really. Like, he's the only black kid you see in the entire game.
And they made the Japanese character more American.
Yeah, they turned into Ginger.
Yeah. Well, not even Ginger. They turned him into an emo thing, because we notice he has black hair with, red tip things.
Stylish red and black combo hair.
Mm-hmm. And it took away his earring, which was stupid.
Yeah. Since the description of him is boy with earrings, right?
Yeah. His name is Naoya. That's what we call him that. But for all in-game references, he's usually called boy with earring. Especially in Persona 2.
Yep.
Yep.
So... Nick, want to give us a brief, description of how the game was in America originally? The release dates and game info there.
Yeah, basically being the only one of us who could stand it.
Hang on, what?
No,
I couldn't stand Revelations Persona. I popped it into an emulator because I was I keep hearing good things about this Persona. Better pop it in, and I just couldn't get past it.
No.
It wasn't until I finally got P3P that I got into the Persona series proper.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't know. I played Revelations first, and, I didn't mind it too much, maybe because I was a kid then. But... Yeah. I don't know. Now, if I compare it to the PSP version, there's definitely a lot of changes.
Yeah, especially no Ice Queen quest.
Hmm?
Especially with no Ice Queen quest.
Yeah, yeah, that too.
Well, it's technically in-game. Like, if you do everything, you need a Game Shark, of course. But it's still there. They just decided not to include it in the main coding for whatever
reason. Didn't they say, like, most people say it was, like, extremely buggy?
Yeah, I think that was the reason.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Can you give us, like, the info about this game, like, release date and junk?
Okay, release date and junk.
Yes.
Came out first in Japan, September 20th, 1996. Then the North American version came over in November 1996. It then got ported over to the Windows on March 22nd, 1999, only in Japan. Then, of course, the PlayStation Portable came out April 29th, 2009 in Japan, September 22nd, 2009 in North America. Then Europe got it finally August 11th, 2010.
Nice.
Yeah, Europe gets hosed.
Yeah, they do.
That's why you should come over to America.
Yeah, the only good thing about Europe is that they also got the PlayStation download, the PSN download copy of it too on the same day they released.
Nice.
So it's not bad, but still they got hosed.
Yeah, that's the only thing that sucks about being in Europe. You usually get something out of being hosed, but not usually. But when you do, people end up just complaining.
Yeah, no, you people in Europe, they just bend over by the pillow. It's going in rough.
Going in dry. Alright. So, one, start with the synopsis of the game now.
Okay. But I don't actually have a synopsis up, so I'm just going through my head.
Alright, the synopsis of mine fucking, like, last episode.
Oh, yeah. Right. Oh, God. We learned so much from the last episode. You guys, you viewers, wouldn't even understand.
Yes.
Yeah, I learned more from us talking about it than me actually sitting down playing.
How the... Well, we can just explain them. Like, we remember all the major parts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Raiji.
Oh, God. Okay, so... Well, I'm going to get the Raiji thing out of the way. Because that was my most... Out of the last episode, if you guys could ever hear it, that was the one thing that made me go, what the fuck, and made us stop. Because I never got Raiji. Neto got him, I guess Nick got him, but I was the only person here who never played with Raiji, so I never got any of the story.
Oh, yeah.
So when I found out Raiji is Kandarai's, the main bad guy's half-brother, I freaked out. Whoa. What the fuck is this? Yeah. Oh my God, you guys won't even believe it. Can't believe it. If I couldn't stop, I wouldn't stop. And then, oh my God, and we'll get over this now, is that you're going to hear us say, that's stupid, that's dumb, a lot.
And mindfucks. Can't forget mindfucks. Yeah. So, synopsis time, or story time, whichever you prefer more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, when you threw me off the synopsis, is because when I think of synopsis, I just think of a small little. Okay, the game is about five kids. They get Persona powers. They gotta go fight Big Bad.
Oh, okay. Story world. Time then.
Okay.
Story time!
Gather around, children. Hello, children.
and our heroes.
When a man loves a woman.
Oh, I thought you were gonna go with, this is no matter how dark I get. Yeah, how dark it gets, our heroes shall always shine bright. That Isle is one strange team.
Okay. Anyways, so everybody listen to this podcast, close your eyes. Let me paint a picture for you. First, we open up in a small little room. We see five kids kind of hanging around. I'd say it's a storage shed.
Yeah, apparently, like, they got nothing better to do. Not like they can just go back and smoke cigarettes like normal kids.
Well, no, they said they were doing something and then they'd all decided to play the Persona game.
Yeah.
Two kids are arguing, Mark and Brown, or Hidehiko. They're arguing, kind of saying that the Persona game will fail, because apparently the Persona game will show you your future self. So you do the game, and everybody just kind of says Persona, Persona, and just changes spots slowly. That's all it really is. after that, they finish up the game. A few minutes pass, and then a little ghost of a little girl shows up and drops lightning down on everybody.
Like, doesn't it zap you in the back of the head, at least for the MC?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. And just, like, you just fall unconscious.
Yeah, and then when you wake up, you're with Philemon.
Yeah, okay. And that's where you just input your name, and he looks really creepy and sort of, like, weird.
Yeah, also, we did a little research for
Philemon. No. Persona 2.
No research?
No, that's, yeah, like, more Persona 2 thing.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be more Persona 2.
Yeah, like, because, right, like, the two aspects were explored more in Persona 2. Like, yeah, this one's just like, oh, let's go inside this one girl's effed up mind and let's fight demons. Hooray!
Okay, yeah. No, okay, we'll talk about Philemon later. That's a little sneak peek for you guys.
Okay.
Okay,
Oh, no, Nick is gone.
He says to continue the podcast.
Yeah, he'll just... Yeah, just for the viewers, Nick's gone for a little bit. He decided to take care of Asian stuff. The Asian-Canadian stuff.
Hentai. Wait, what?
What about hentai? Well, all right. Let's continue.
Well, what is that about his Bible Black Club?
Alright.
Anyways, that's another little peek behind the mirrors. Anyways, after you input your name, you wake up in... Nurse room.
And you find a talking tree. Which isn't strange
at
all.
This is the first hint that everything's fucked up when you're talking to a tree.
Yep. That's how you know shit's coming down.
That's how you know shit's coming down when trees are asking you to remember the shit.
Let me tell you a story. Oh, that was great. Then I'll get the fuck out.
Yeah, pretty much.
How are there, like, magical saving trees everywhere in this game?
I want to say that it's actually a demon tree.
Demon tree.
And, yeah, that it's a demon tree and that they grow in only certain places.
Yeah, but the lady has, like, a demon tree then in the fucking nurse's office.
It's possible. I mean, there's been a lot of... Okay, anime stories where demon trees pop up everywhere.
Oh, yeah, especially Kakashi.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that fucking mysterious tree and shit. Oh, it gives that magical powers. Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's pretty dumb. Yeah. Demon trees.
Yeah, it is. But it could also be a demon who just possessed a tree.
Or...
So, it goes both ways.
Yeah. Like, is there like tree spirit thing called Tengu in Japan?
Tengu, that's...
Like a forest guardian or something like that?
Yeah, that's a forest guardian. It's more like a bird, though.
Hmm. Alright, then. Continue.
Okay.
Continue, Kamina.
Alright, let's see. You meet your homeroom teacher, Miss Psycho. She tells you to go to the hospital. Go get a checkup. They then say that you should visit your classmate, Maki. And yada yada yada, you go there.
You find out that Mark has a crush on her. And basically, this game's just meant to butthurt Mark so badly.
But we'll get to the best part about what happened to Mark.
Yeah. Like, seriously, he just gets screwed over so many times in this game. It's like for comic relief, but that kid will end up, like, seriously effed up by the end of the game.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty bad. Anyways, right after you talk to her, you go find her room, which, another part in this episode, we talked at least 5 minutes about how it's impossible to find her fucking room.
Oh, yeah. Especially with those, weird, like, why did they have to make it look like a dungeon when you're, like, walking around looking for a room?
Well, that's like that even in the stores. It looks like a fucking dungeon.
No, like, the stores are pretty okay. Like, it's just a basic map of, oh, look, basically, it's like, go in there, there's a...
Cross?
Like, the store? Like, the medicine store, that's the easiest place to navigate. Like, basically, you get to see everyone in their third-person view, and basically just buy it.
Yeah, no, I meant the mall.
Oh, the mall? Oh, I find that cool with the mall, because, like, Like you're just walking around, and basically said, oh, okay, let's see what these things do. And like, there's like secret arcade suite. There's a place to eat, but it's closed. Well, that sucks. Oh, what the hell is this? It's a nightclub? Nah, it can't be. There's like a strange dude right there with a long nose and says, sorry, screw this. Like, you can go the entire game without knowing where the hell the Velvet Room is.
Yeah. And because it also changes, like, within each dungeon, I believe there's a Velvet Room inside each and every freaking dungeon, too.
Yeah, no, but I'm just saying, it's just so weird. Alright.
Yeah.
Let's just continue, forget about demon trees and the Velvet Rooms and the the dungeon-like hospital. And let's just go on with Monkey and her epileptic seizure type thing going on. And then an earthquake.
Yeah, earthquake. And Yarg zombies.
Oh, yeah.
Zambambos, as some people like to call them.
Alright. So, want me to take over a bit? I can basically explain.
Yeah, take over, because I'm rushing through this part, because this is the most boring part of this entire game.
Yeah, that's the truth about any Persona game, really. Like, the first parts are meh, but once you get into it, it's actually pretty fun.
Well, Persona 3's beginning was actually pretty interesting. I can say the same for Persona 4.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like,
Persona 2 was okay. I mean, it's a lot like this, where you're walking around trying to figure out what the fuck everything's going on.
Alright, then. So right here, you just visit Maki after finding her room in the mysterious dungeon of the hospital. And you talk to her a little bit. Turns out that she's been like bedridden for most of her life, and never known how to feel like a normal kid. Especially with her mom being a complete bitch. But no offense to that. Well, am I the only one who felt like that? Like you, Nathan? I forgot Nick's not here.
I guess I could see that. It felt more like, though, that they just couldn't connect very well. Does that make sense? That it's more of that they weren't mean to each other, they just didn't know how to talk to each other anymore.
Yeah. And that's a sad thing to see. So.
Yeah.
With that, yeah, you find out that Mark actually likes her and been visiting her, like, every single day for some reason. And she still doesn't get the clue. Like, is she... Just surprises me. Like, he's the only other guy who visits you, and like, you should at least have some sort of feelings for him. But no.
Oh, it's main character. Of course, it's main character that you focus on.
Yeah, once you see him, his Kenpachi Ramasama swag, you can't help it.
No, it's the earring. I've concluded this. It's the earring that does it.
Yeah.
It's why they had to not put it in the American release.
Yeah. So. After you start swagging a little bit, then Maki has like some mysterious seizure going on, saying no, Maki. Then like she gets sent to the emergency room for operation and stuff.
Yeah, so the ICU to be.
Yeah, to be specific.
I'm sorry, but reason for that is my mom worked in the hospital for years.
Oh.
So when it comes to some medical terms, I will correct you. ICU is different from the emergency
room. Alright. So what was she, a nurse or something?
Respiratory therapist.
Ah.
Yeah. She told the nurses what to do.
Nice.
When it comes to the lungs.
Sweet. And that's why you got The Last of Us stolen from you. She needed it for medical research when the zombie apocalypse comes.
The zombie apocalypse comes. It's always here.
Yep.
I work at Walmart. That's a mini zombie apocalypse every day.
Alright. So, let's see. The ICU, right? She goes to the ICU?
Yeah.
And, like, then, like, you just start waiting out there, and there's, like, a giant earthquake going on. Everyone starts freaking out. Says, oh, right, no, the power went out. For a split second, now time to check up on what's going on. They open the room to the... They open the door to the ICU. And come on, really? It's like vanished. The door's open, but there's just a wall behind the door. Alright, right. So, where were we at? Oh, yeah, guys, like, we took a small break. But guess who's back? It's Nick.
Hello!
Again.
Yeah. He's back. He's back in black.
Supposedly. I'm actually Chinese, but that works too.
Oh, that? You just, like you were saying, back in black, like in the evil Spider-Man.
Oh, okay, 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 I see.
Yeah, you're basically like Peter Parker, only like you've got like symbiote suit right now and just doing the Friday night strut out there in New York. Like, and like just looking at girls and girls like thinking that you're fucking weird doing that fucking dance outside.
Oh, then God.
Then I'm eating pie, telling this girl it's so good.
So yeah, good. That's like the only part I actually didn't like about the Spider-Man 3 movie. Alright.
Persona, not Spider-Man.
Yeah. So, right, let's go. Persona, like, we stopped in the ICU room, right?
We were just running down into the things for the Zambambos. Yeah.
But seriously, we gotta cut that thing out, because, like, that's so off-topic. That'd be great for bloopers, though. Alright. So, we left off in the... Alright, let's just pause really quick then, let's just continue on. So, where we left off one was, ICU room within the hospital dungeon. So, Nathan or Nick, whichever one wants to take it away.
Take it, Nathan!
Yeah, it's okay. Just right when you go downstairs and save the nurses.
Okay, so the scene, we're running down a thing, we see Zambambos attacking, and they're all the dead patients of the hospital, because, you know, hospital dead patients, blah, blah, blah. But here comes one of the focal decision points, and where you have to either decide to save the nurses or not save the nurses. I'll be up front here. Most of the choices don't actually affect gameplay. Or even story, really. It's all about how to get your ultimate personas for each and every character. Each time we come up to it, we'll tell you. But honestly, there's no real repercussions besides, oh, you didn't get this ultimate persona. Oh, you didn't get that ultimate persona. So that's a way to make the game very linear. Anyways, so we save the nurses to get the ultimate persona.
Then you find Alfred dead.
Yes. No, yeah, because he was actually trying to save the nurses. And then Nanjo promises him that he'll become the number one man in Japan.
Oh, but you should really say his real name, though, because, like, I just love the American name so much just for him being Alfred.
Alfred. Alright, yeah, his real name is Yamaoka. In the American release, he was known as Alfred. And now...
Batman reference. Like,
it pretty much is. I mean, he's a super Batman reference, because I think he even kind of looks like the Batman Forever Alfred, who has cancer.
No, he doesn't have cancer. He just has, like, some genetic disease that's, like, crippling him, and basically Mr. Freeze has the fucking antidote.
Oh, see? You remembered more about Batman Forever than I did.
Like, that's, like, one of my favorite ones, just because it was so fucking hilarious how they have Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze.
I'll be back to freeze your ass.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
But come on, really, that's why it's one of my favorite movies. Like, I don't give a shit about it. Like, I told my teacher that, like, he's a huge Batman fan. I said, which one's your favorite Batman movie? Batman Forever? Dude, why the fuck? That's the worst Batman movie ever. That's why it's my favorite. Come on, where else are you gonna see fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze?
who apparently needs diamonds for his freezing machine.
Yeah. Alright, let's continue this now that everyone knows that what my favorite Batman movie is. But in all seriousness, The Dark Knight Returns is my favorite just because Joker just being so crazy.
Really? It's not because Heath Ledger died?
Hmm?
Nothing.
Oh, okay, cool. Let's go.
Okay, where were we? Alfred, Batman, blah. Yes. Anyways, after Nanjo promises Yamaoka that he'll become the number one man in Japan, you all battle the zombies, and you guys gain power of persona.
Hell yeah.
Then somebody comes running in and says, "Oh my god, you gotta go save Maki's mother, who's at the shrine." So, you guys go, and when you finally find her, she reveals that she was shot by Sevet guards, which is like a big company, you know.
Perfect conspiracy.
Yeah. Mark and Nandro go off to stop them, or to kill them, or whatever. And then the person who came running in, whose name is Ellie, I'm bad with names, says that the school is the only place that's safe from demons right now, because for whatever reason, they're not approaching the school, or they have it so well guarded right now that there's no demons coming inside. So you kind of run, take Maki's mother to there. After that, you find your homeroom teacher again, Miss Saiko. And she tells you to go find, because there's a big old hole in the wall, and there's students guarding there, and you're supposed to go and tell them to kind of let Mark and Nanjo come through.
Then the Ice Queen quest can start from there optionally.
Yeah, if you get the PSP version, you can start the Ice Queen quest from here on.
Yeah, overall it's just short. Well, basically it's like a game in of itself, and it just helps you.
Yeah, it is a small game, pretty much.
It's basically a side story.
The only thing wrong with it is that to get all the ultimate personas in that side story, you have to do all the dungeons in reverse order. So you have to do the hardest dungeon first, then make all the right decisions, and then do the easiest dungeon last.
Damn.
Yeah, that's why Lilim is a must. Because in the beginning, most of the time, you're either making demons that you can talk to, like that you know how to talk to and can either make them happy or whatever. And that's how you get most of your experience. It's from stuff like that and taking out the way weaker demons along the way. Should we go explain exactly what the Ice Queen quest is or not?
Oh, sure. Let's go ahead.
Okay. Well, after giving the quick gameplay rundown and hints.
It says that you find a mask, your teacher puts it on, she just gets possessed, and the journey is trying to free her from it. That's
the
synopsis.
The biggest thing about the Ice Queen quest is that it actually brings in, or Snow Queen quest, excuse me, is that it actually brings
ice
in
ice cream.
Well, some say snow, some say ice, but anyways, the main important part is that it brings in that you're fighting somebody's shadow.
Yeah, that's the. I think that's the only reference to Shadow fighting until Persona 2.
Yeah. But. I'll get to Persona 2 when I get to Persona 2, but it pisses me off so bad that Eternal Punishment PSP is not coming to America. Well, because the PSP version is supposed to have an extra side story that tells you why Shadows became the main bad guys instead of demons.
Yeah, but if you really are desperate enough, just find an emulator.
Yeah.
And there's obviously some dude crazy enough to... Well, I'm gonna take a crack on translating it.
Oh, there was already a ton of people. There was just a ton of people just for the side quest by itself. They all wanted it done. Anyways.
Yeah, like, people are just batshit crazy over 10%, really. Because that's what I love about the percent of, like, Atlas in general. Like, sure, they might screw us up every once in a while, but there are people dedicated enough to do the translation and all that for free.
Yeah. Anyways, that's the big thing about the Ice Queen quest, and that's pretty much it.
Okay, cool.
I mean, it's a nice little side story about
Snow Queen.
Revenge. About revengeance.
Revengeance. Metal Gear.
The world doesn't need another Jack.
Oh, God. The references. Alright. Let's see, But in the end of Snow Queen quest, you just basically get a mess like warning basically from now on Joe saying that Mark got caught, right?
Yeah. After that, you if you don't take the Ice Queen quest, you just walk outside, and now Joe comes running by saying that Mark got caught for one of the stupidest things ever because he used his persona too much and ran out of SP.
No, it was just gone too much. Like, it was just, well, at least with the message I got, it says he was using his gun too much. And it says, what?
Yeah, though, like, in the PSP version, which is the one I played, he says he used his power too much or something like that. It was heavily implied that Mark ran around using his persona on everything.
Yeah.
In there.
Oh, well, whatever. But on those Nodgers, like, a major dick just leaving him behind.
It's not even that bad.
Yeah, because, like, honestly, Mark is just, like, the Persona 1 punching bag.
And he's a mandatory character.
Yep.
Anyways,
And YG isn't.
Yeah.
Why is that? I do not know.
Because he's extremely broken.
Yeah, but he's like, just switch out the stats, and then it'd be all good, because, like, Raji looks 10 times cooler than him.
Yeah, but freaking Raji is so, so broken.
But it makes the game so, so much easier.
I am actually very thankful because I actually found Persona 1 to be kind of easy.
And it's 10 times easier for YG.
No, I didn't even use YG. I used Hidehiko, which is apparently the worst character.
Really?
Yeah, Hidehiko is apparently bad.
That's a shocking development. Oh, whatever. So, let's continue on the story.
From their own... his pants.
Wait, what?
Yeah, Hidehiko shoots his pants, like in the very...
Oh.
That's why he's brown.
Oh. No, I just thought it was fun. I thought you said he shot himself saying what? I don't think Gandhi did till Persona 3.
Yeah.
Which we already did. Episode 3, people. Go listen to it now.
Go do it now.
Or not. Alright, so. From there on you just go on trying to save Mark and Brown from a corporate prison. And basically you get the option to take Brown with you. Like, you get in a battle, he awakens his persona, then you get the option to for him to be a fourth party member. And I chose not to. And then don't you go to a corp... Oh, yeah, right. We never mentioned that we find Maki.
Oh, yeah. As soon as you walk out, you find Maki. And she's not sick anymore. And, you know, no. I'm going to call her sickness cancer. Because I don't know what else to call it. Because it's an incurable, inexplainable disease. They just say she's sick all the time.
Well, it could be something else. But, well, we should just call it Mysterious Girl and Mysterious Anime Girl Disease.
Okay, I'll call it apathy syndrome. Wait, what?
What?
Okay. Anyways, blah, 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 we meet Maki. She's no longer sick, and in fact, she's even happier than ever. And you all run, of course.
And you're all wondering why she's okay. So,
yeah.
Yeah, all, then just scream Brown and Mark, and then go, well, you just continue, dude.
Yeah, okay, after you save Mark with her there,
then there's, like, other character underneath a bridge or something like that.
Yeah.
Hideiko, right? Hideiko? I don't know. Hideiko was the other character.
Yeah. Then, like you said, you can either choose to have him or not. Like I said, I chose to have him. He was my last character to join up. And... Then you guys go to the abandoned factory. Along the way, you run into Ellie
and
Ayase. They find Ellie in the subway systems and Ayase in the abandoned factory itself. I don't know how she got there, but she got there. You can, same with Brown. You can choose to have them join up or not. If you don't, no big deal. So you got a key from Maki's mother, and Mark has it. You guys go through there, and you guys go hit the Sebek building to kill the big bad guy, Takahisa Kandorai. Because apparently he has a reality warping machine, and they don't like that.
And they don't like that.
Yeah. Eventually, after going to the dungeon, you end up fighting Kandorai's henchman, Takeda. And Kandori runs away to his underground lab. And he's saying they're trying to
has one of those.
Yeah, he even has a lead scientist, Dr. Nikolai. Which, come on, he's supposed to be Nikolai Tesla? Really? Really?
Oh, well.
Okay. Anyways, his main doctor, Dr. Nikolai, tells him to not use the Davis system because it's still pretty much like that. After activating it, Dr. Nikolai says that he's going to save the entire city by sacrificing himself. Another decision point, you can either choose to stop him or not. Either way, the Deva system does malfunction. And you're warped back to your school. But apparently 6 months in the past, and Maki runs away.
Oh yeah, and here's where we get utter mindfucking. But
this is where the mindfuck begins.
This, okay, like, yeah, this was the first major mind-fucking of the mind-fucking. So first one was, like, Maki and disappointing Thor, and, like, how is she all okay with this? And, like, last episode we're just talking of how is this stuff possible.
Yeah, so, yeah. We were trying to put reason and logic into this game, which... Just it's a 90s game, to be honest.
Reason and logic does not work.
Yeah, we can give a little, like, argument of this, like, basically, I just kept on wondering, how is this shit possible when they run into themselves in this dimension? Then, like, yeah. Nathan was going, nah, it's just that you take over their body. This is okay, that's cool, so you just take over your own body in a different dimension. Then I said, no, wait, shouldn't then Maki, like, traveling from that dimension to, their dimension be, like, fucking weak as fuck just because Maki was sick in that world, or that dimension. And then he says, nah, probably just a good juju coming in.
I'll say it. That's the last time we did that. I was actually tired. I can actually better explain myself.
Okay.
What I meant by that good was juju. That, say, I'm occupying a space in this universe. We'll call our universe Universe A. If a person from my universe, Universe B, comes over, what would happen is that I would slowly start dissolving into his universe and take up his space, and he'll take up my space.
Okay, so you
would essentially switch places.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, but the real question is, like, this is basically the FMA factor of interdimensional traveling. Yeah, like, where you just take over your other self's body. But then, like, that still does not explain how Maki from World B was healthy in World A when Maki in World A was sick. Explain that, Mr. Rocket Science dude right there.
Okay, to get this, I'll have to go into a little bit of fucking quantum theory.
Quantum leaping.
Pretty much. Maybe this leap will be the next leap home. Anyways, basically what it means is that every universe, pretty much, is a different sum of our choices. So say, way back when, as a baby, I had a chance to get sick. In this universe, I didn't get sick. But right because there was that choice, another universe broke off because I was sick.
Yeah, it's parallel world theory.
Yeah, Parallel World Theory. I'm sorry, I thought Quantum Physics. I don't know why I called it Quantum Physics, but the Parallel World Theory.
Quantum Leap, that's why.
Yeah. Anyway, some of our choices, I'll say that's the first major break part.
Yeah, but that still does not make sense why Maki A is, like, Maki B is in Maki's body and she's still not sick.
Well, they're not in, she's not in her body, she's taking up her space in the universe.
So, does that mean, like, Maki B's body slowly dissolves, so
Maki B's body was
transferred to Maki, World A, and Maki A, A's trade
and she
place.
Takes up Maki A's space. Maki A will either get shoved into the interdimension, like the world between worlds, or into Maki B's dimension.
Okay, cool.
I honestly believe Maki herself gets shoved in between the worlds.
And that's who the front of the, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Listener mind.
Yeah, and that's a little bit of fan theory for you kids out there.
My head hurts.
Yes.
I can't handle all this.
I can hear the millions of face palms all over the world from people listening to this.
I have like face desk right now.
You lifted up your desk and just slammed your fist to it. Ooh.
No, I'll be honest. That's probably the most logical explanation you'll ever hear about why this is possible. Anyways, you run around. Maki runs off. You explore. You discover Yosuke. Not Yosuke from Persona 4, but a new Yosuke. A different Yosuke. A better Yosuke.
He probably jumped around worlds, too. What? No, what if this Yosuke is actually the Yosuke in Persona 4, but he traveled in a different universe?
He time-traveled backwards in a different universe.
Oh, man.
Okay, enough of that. Just go. Just talk.
Anyways, if you hear, we're doing the Persona 5 spoiler cast.
Accident of Persona 5, like, there's, like, some huge accident. Like, Yosuke gets sent back in time, and that's actually Yosuke right there.
Oh, man. Okay.
And that's how all the Persona worlds are connected.
Wow.
Thanks to Yosuke.
Yosuke. Oh my gosh, Yosuke. Anyways, this Yosuke apparently went and eloped with his girlfriend, but he was actually sent to the past.
Sake.
Okay, here's where the thing is that Maki reveals that it's not the past, but another world, and that she's from this world. Yeah, we already went over it.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, they both mention a girl in black controlling things, and that's when her voice appears and kind of threatens you. You then explore the school, which is now a dungeon, for all intents and purposes. And you can meet Raiji, who was also sent to space between the worlds and later escaped with the help of Girl in White. This is, of course, only if you chose not to have anybody else follow you and follow all of Raiji's rumors. And then you defeat Tessa, a giant robot rat.
Giant robot.
Yeah, and her name's Aki.
The girl in black name is Aki.
Yes.
And the girl. And Yosuke. What girl in white is just named M?
Maki. No. No, what is it? Mai.
Yeah, but I just thinking it would be really weird if, like, the names together just spelled Maki and...
Well, their names is Maki, just with one letter removed.
Yeah, no.
Aki and Mai. Anyways. Defeat Tesso, blah, blah, blah. You then... Yosuke then comes back and says, by the way, meet me in the library.
Oh my god. Hell no, kid. I chumps go to the library. And just push them off. Get off me, nerd. I'm gonna save the world by slaying demons.
Anyways, I guess there's this guy, Tsutomu, tells you about a prophet. You go there, and the prophet is Philemon, and then talks about an expel mirror. Apparently, the Expelliarmus is the only thing that can defeat demons in the subway, which is now the only route between the two halves of the town, because apparently they were segregated and there's a huge wall between them.
Huge barrier stone wall thing. Like, we got arguing this one as well.
Yeah.
Like, is it a force field or is it like some giant stone wall or something? Yeah.
It was just a wall. But I'm still under belief it's just a stone wall.
Yeah. Alright, let's just continue this before we do, before we say anything else dumb, like last episode. Like,
And of course, in anything that's put in half, one has to be evil, one has to be good.
The yin yang, baby!
Yes. You get the Expelliarmus from the Historical Society, and then you go to the other half of the town. And you have to go through the Black Market, which is the mall, and you get stuck.
The Black Market Mall.
That's when you go to see the Harem Queen. Pretty much, yeah. Because I guess the only way to get in or out of it is to go talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
She's revealed to be Chisato, who's, I guess, Maki's friend or something. And blah, 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 she gets mad and she teleports you away. You then have to go back to the entire dungeon and then fight her. It's only Maki and the main character.
Mm-hmm.
Then she asks if who you think painting is better. Again, this is just another ultimate persona choice, so just choose Maki's.
Yeah. And you also get some, you know, outside benefits. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what that means.
Some nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Some Elizabeth action.
Go wink, wink, nudge, nudge, you know what I mean? Alright. Not really, though. Like, that would just be, like, really weird on a Persona game. It's implied in Persona 4 and 3...
Oh, it's heavily implied.
Yes, it is.
Uh-huh.
Especially the Christmas dates.
And especially...
Oh, God.
Like, it's just... Oh, yeah. Except for the Sun Persona. Like, both of the Sun Personas and Persona 4 sort of, like, are creeping their own way. Alright, like, let's skip that. Let's go.
Yeah.
That would come with... It's the Persona 4 episode.
Oh my gosh, you guys are gonna make fun of me when the Persona 4 episode actually comes around.
Oh, gee, I love you. I want you to have my babies. Alright. Oh, you guys want to take like a small musical break right here?
Should we?
Yeah. Like, that way we can do three songs like we initially intended.
Okay, this song is going to be... Which one again?
Bloody Destiny.
Okay, this one's Bloody Destiny?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your favorite one.
Yes, it's the boss theme. The boss theme for most bosses. I think it's the best song in the entire game.
Alright then. So, give a brief description why you like it.
I like it. It's awesome.
Oh, that's like a good description. Well, yeah, I said, like, it's, like, really nice vocals, like, I admit that. Yeah, Nathan had to get away a little early, so he could take his break. So, for now, I'll just introduce the segment of the intro break. This is Bloody Destiny from the Persona 1 OST, and please enjoy the break.
Save me from that ride.
Anyway, back from our little break right here. And just a reminder, that was Bloody Destiny from the Persona 1 OST. Yeah. But it goes to my Thunder Nathan.
Mm-hmm. Shit keeps popping off.
Alright, and let's just continue with the story.
Yeah, let's just continue with this. Let's get this bitch up and moaning.
Oh, God.
Anyway,
he's just been playing loads of the expansion packs of Mecha Mamas and Moe Maids.
Dude, I'm getting no more heroes. So.
Alright, yeah.
Anyways.
In Kiwai, so, Girls Ultimate Game Simulator.
Yeah. So, pretty much, you find out Chisato's covered in a bunch of moles. And Aki shows up and says that she'll remove all the moles if Chisato wins. You, of course, win, and her Chaos Mirror breaks.
Oh, no.
Yeah, Aki kind of gets mad and says that that Chisato's useless and runs away. Well, vanishes. Chisato, of course, covered in moles still. Yosuke comes by and says, "Girl, I love you no matter what."
That's the Yosuke Persona 4.
I want to say my memory is that the moles disappear after that.
All right then.
Okay, you guys like? Yeah, sure. What the fuck ever.
Yeah. No, like I give a shit. Not like me. Yeah. but I do think they come off too.
Yeah. Anyways, then she turns around, runs. And takes you to the Mana Castle. Which is Pandora's fortress. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Google over Mana. I'm sorry, is it manga, too? How about Leviosa? Leviosa.
And points for Gryffindor.
This is the stupidest bullshit ever, but it's locked. The door's locked. And only the little girl in the forest can get in. You run to go save her, and you discover that the little girl is the little girl in white that's been following you around. You then convince her to give you a half compact, which she, of course, uses to control half of her town. Then you finally go into the Mana Castle. Naruto realizes that Katori has taken half of a compact. And the stand for it disappears along with it, and at the top of the tower, Raiji is revealed to be Kandori's half brother.
Dum dum dum.
Okay. Now that I got over the mind fucking of this part, it's stupid.
You should have heard last week's podcast when Nathan found out he literally freaked out.
We should just make we should just try and make it just me and Nathan's data together, just to just get an example of what the hell the mind fuckings were.
It would just be a single thing of me going, "What the fuck?"
Yeah, we still got the data for that, don't we?
I still have my data.
Same
you.
Here. Yeah, I do. So let's try to make that as a bonus episode, even though it's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Well, that way they can at least get the jokes or first time reactions.
Yeah.
Alright, let's just continue the story. Okay. Continue, Hamina.
Hamina. Of course, the other half compact is the black girls and blacks. Kandora uses it to shape the dark half town. Fully assembled green compact. Okay, so what happens is he actually gets both compacts. I'm rushing through this, but he gets both compacts, both Aki's and Mai's, and he assembles it to begin get the green compact.
To get kingdom hearts.
Yeah, he goes back to the real world and becomes low unto a god.
My god.
Literally. Mother of God.
Nice.
Turns He turns the Sebek building into his own his little castle, Deva Yuga. Aki disappears, and the party fights a demon called Swarva. Sorva. Yeah, that sounds right.
Chinese sent to me. I could probably try to pronounce it.
It's just like Swarva dinosaur, and then blah.
Sorva.
Okay. Sorva. I'm going with Sorva.
Spitballs.
You're a wizard, Spitballs. Anyways,
there it is,
then. Maki decides to go to the haunted house. It's a mansion that was torn down in the real world to where the Sebek building was supposed to be. And she thinks, for some reason, she thinks that this is going to have a gate to the real world in it.
But it was a gate to Kingdom Hearts. And that's how it's reserved, goes to Kingdom Hearts.
From there, you fight nothing but shadows and Neo shadows. This is what we meant by shadows, by the way.
Yes. This spoiler.
Anyways, you go into the. Here's another thing is that you go there and you find a demon named Harati.
Yes.
Which is another decision point. You can either fight it or not fight it. If you not fight it, it turns into Maki's mother, because it was always Maki's mother, just a thing. And during this fight, though, Maki keeps screaming that she doesn't have a mom.
Wow.
Yeah. Once you get back to the real world, everybody's been brainwashed by Kandora.
Like, isn't basically Pandora like the real Maki?
Oink. Yeah, Pandora is the empty shell of Maki.
This Maki from World A.
Yes, I think that's what they're getting at, is that Pandora is...
World A Maki, basically just mind-fucked. And when she
got trapped in between the worlds.
Yes. So she got screwed out of the adventure. And she was so hurt by it, she just became Pandora, the final boss.
Yeah. Anyways, you fight Nanjo. You fight Kandorai. His persona, Narlothotep. Which then transforms him into a god-like being. But you still kill him, because, you know, you can kill a god.
Yep. What's a good old JRPG without some good deicide?
Good old deicide. Anyways.
Final Fantasy.
After that, he explains the Deva system. Does create and creates a whole new world, just fashions a whole brand new world.
But only to the mind of the user, right?
I don't think he ever explains it. He just says that it's supposed to create a whole new world, but for whatever reason, it sent out a wavelength that hooked up with the real Maki's brainwaves.
Yeah, and that's like Maki's ideal world.
Yes.
And then you get this utter decision whether to like make Maki realize the truth or make her like live her little lie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, we also didn't mention your shadow self. Or just like the dude playing the game, which is supposed to be us.
Well, yeah, because we still haven't gotten to the shadow self, because you don't see him until after you...
Oh yeah, right.
Defeat, what's his face?
What's his face? Mr. Chuck Norris.
Yeah, because after you find him, you end up going into a shrine.
Yes.
And you first find yourself. And it was cool, and we kind of all kind of went off about it, is that when you first find your shadow self, he's playing a video game, and he does not look up from the video game, ever, except, I think, one time. So Neto pretty much said is that The shadow self is supposed to be us in a weird sense.
Yeah, since we're the dude playing a game, and that guy is playing a game, and we're just making all decisions. Yeah. Like, does it change the systems for each copy? He's only played the PSP one.
I've only ever played the PSP one.
Nick?
I've played the Revelations.
What game did...
Like Persona what, Revelations.
Yeah, but... what game... Hmm. What system is he playing or something?
The PS1.
Hmm. Interesting.
Yeah.
Like,
well, usually when I say Revelations or Persona Revelations or like Revelations Persona, I usually mean the PS1 version.
Yeah. So, yeah. Let's just get to the grand finale right now. Where we get all the ultimate personas.
Yeah. Okay, you get your ultimate persona.
Persona.
Yeah, persona, because that's the plural of persona.
Yeah, anyways, I thought it was just personas.
No, it's persona.
Persona. Hmm. This is an English professor right here.
Almost like peanut. And...
Alright.
Anyways, you get your ultimate personas. And at the bottom, Maki convinces her true self to give up the Wu compact. And then she asks you to... To go, ask you guys to go. She doesn't want now to see her in a bubble.
No, wait. Does that mean like the real, like World A Maki life now? Like seriously, the what the hell? Like seriously, like it's never implied that we were that we met her before, and like what the like no, Mark must be so butthurt.
Yeah, like. Here's the thing is that World A Maki is that because the protagonist is an empty shell, we don't know things, but the game has a big problem with conveying information about how you know her. It's implied heavily in the very, very beginning is that while she was sick, you did meet her before she got super sick.
Ah. And so that's how she found her. You.
And she knows you, but it's not like you guys were super close or anything.
It's like that distant crush, like Hinata and Naruto.
Oh, God, yo!
No, like, this was like Hinata when they were still in the academy and she just stared at him.
Oh, jeez.
And, like, he's being complete dumbass, not realizing it. Until years later in high school, he says, hey, girl, what's up? Let's go play some games together.
He still doesn't even realize that she...
Yeah, that dude's just plain retarded. Unless, you know, as the shadow self, we have to push him a little, you know, like, just get the force push of the shadow. Just like, dude, she wants the kingdom key. If you know what I mean.
I'm pretty sure she can wield a keyblade, I mean.
No, I'm saying that she loved me.
Oh. No, God, no.
That video is playing awesome. Yeah. Alright. Right. So, Nathan, finish up the story off. Since you're the star of this show.
Oh,
he's like, Nick had his episode during 13-1. Persona 1 will be your star. Your time to shine.
Really? I always never thought me to be the Persona aficionado here out of all of us.
Well, my, like, I was like, you had Melissa for the story with the three, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was like our guest.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, we're gonna try and fight someone for Persona 4.
Somebody. Someone out there.
Somebody that has a functional mic.
Yes.
Make sure
and
you
it's
have
easy
a...
to talk to. That's one
yes.
thing. So, like, let's just finish off the story of Persona 1.
Yes. Persona 1. So, you got the bubble.
The bubble.
Yes, the bubble.
And, yeah, but
bubble buddy.
Why doesn't she want him to see her in a bubble? It's just a bubble.
Okay, I'll be honest here. I read that part from the wiki. I can't remember. I believe it's actually more that she doesn't want her to see her kind of giving in to darkness. I can't remember.
Like, next thing I know, like, she's totally mute in there, saying, oh, God.
Anyways.
Like, now just goes, check your diary. Jackpot.
Anyways, you get all three of your... the compacts. And... Mm-hmm. Ooh, sorry. And you get the thing... And you find Pandora finally, and you go to the Vidya world. And it was where she plans to use it to create a world of nothingness. But the party beats her, and Maki convinces her to merge back together. And as the party goes back to the real world, Maki kisses the main protagonist, and Philemon disappears into butterflies. That's it, pretty much.
Huzzah.
That's all. Like, the ending cutscene after all that is, you see you guys at graduation trying to go to the theme park.
And then you eventually might score with Maki.
Eventually, yeah. Because we went over it slightly or last time, but at the end of the game, it kind of gives a rundown about each of the characters.
Like, Nao and Maki are now together, and he's like, stuff, you know?
Yeah.
Like, well, and then Persona 2, he goes on a trip.
A soul-searching trip, pretty much. From what they He's make like it sound fucking, like.
It's like Bruce Banner and the Incredible Hulk. Just hitchhiking the entire time.
Mm-hmm, pretty much.
Alright, then. just explain everyone's endings.
Okay. Mark is revealed to go to art school.
Mark committed suicide just because the main character got Maki. And him being butthurt throughout the entire series. They found him like...
Poor Mark.
He just hung himself all on his roof.
Okay.
Spoiler alert, he's in Persona 4. God damn it, Adachi.
Well, he is in Persona 3.
Next thing you know, he did turn out to be Adachi. Just changed his name. He already has percent power.
Well, that doesn't explain how the hell Izanami gave Adachi the persona power.
Oh, he already had 20%. Well, let's just let him enter TV world. Same bitching. And he just changed his name to Toru Adachi. And that's just...
He had a whole new life as Toru Adachi.
Yeah.
But I still can't get a girlfriend. Get this one kid guy some all. He's just like Nao. And I'm gonna become his friend, then betray him. And he comes the second final boss. Oh, ha ha ha.
Yo, spoiler alerts.
Yeah, that's major spoilers.
This is actually real spoilers this time.
smooth.
That'd be funny, like in Persona 5. Turns out all this shit was real.
Freaking, like, I know you were still being, like, ridiculous with it, but you started giving out real spoilers about Toru Adachi.
Oh.
Like, you know, oh, well, it was, we were meant to spoil it sooner or later anyways. It's okay.
Pretty much. Oh, my gosh. Well, that's the end of the game, guys. We did it. Yay.
Yeah. Or, you know what you should just do? You should just really find that censor bleep and just, like, censor that part out.
Nah, it'll stay, man. I mean.
Alright. Yeah, so yeah. Now, Nick, now this is your time to shine. Let's see if you can become a regular of the outro song part thing. We should really come up with a name for it.
I don't know, just outro.
Yes.
Okay, outro time. Go, yeah. Nick.
Outro time. Okay, so for our last song of the podcast, well, this podcast anyways, we'll be playing one of the last songs in Persona, also known as A Lone Prayer.
Yeah, that's basically the battle theme.
Yes.
Yeah, battle theme? Yeah, it's Nathan's favorite.
No.
Oh, never mind. That was the last music piece, I'm sorry.
Yeah, A Lone Prayer is my favorite song. Me and Nathan were fighting over it. And we just let Nick take over this segment, so yeah. Overall, he got most of it right. It is like a lone prayer, and it's from the Persona 1 OST.
Yeah, he got it right. He just got it wrong about who loves the song.
Yep. So yeah.
You know what? I'm sorry.
Nah, you're good, dude. I told you to practice wrong, but no, Mr. I'm a professional. I can do without fucking practice. Alright. Okay, guys, say your goodbyes.
Okay.
Goodbye!
See you next time.
That was gay.
You were trying to say it was Japanese-ish. And
see you next time.
For a while. I'm kidding. Oh, God. Okay, all see right. You guys.
Stay gold.
Wait, no, no, hold up. I'll let you finish in a minute, but...
What?
Nah, I'm done, I'm done. This is it. Goodbye. Live with Ballad Manly.